This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Northwest Safe. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending? Wait, what?
So a violent, mentally ill homeless man almost killed a woman by throwing her over an overpass onto I-5. It happened in Seattle. She would have been killed had it not been for a passerby who stepped in and helped. And this criminal has done this before. Jonathan James Wilson has done this before. He has attacked people in the past. In fact, he's been arrested three times since September of last year. Not September of 2008, but September of 2018, last year, months ago. But those charges were dismissed because he has mental illness. And a Seattle municipal judge didn't think he was fit to stand trial, but I guess that judge felt fit that this person was fit enough to be released back into the city, living out on the streets, committing these types of acts of violence. Traumatizing a woman, assaulting a woman. Sonia Vaughn was a pedestrian. She told Cairo 7 TV that this whole situation is getting more and more dangerous.
Good thing he was there. I'm pretty sure he was probably scared, too, because he could have thrown both out the bridge. Very scary, because when I'm always walking, so I'm never looking behind or trying to see.
This is what Seattle has become. People are wondering whether or not Seattle is dying. Seattle is, in fact, dying. I'm going to be on the Tucker Carlson Show later today to talk about this. But this is what Seattle has become, where we're letting people live out on the streets with impunity, violate any law they want, and we refuse to charge. We wait until the very last moment before we actually do anything in the city of Seattle. They need to wait until someone almost gets thrown off an overpass before the courts will legitimately get involved. Jonathan James Wilson attacked this woman whom he never met. She's very slight, according to Cairo 7 TV. He's 6'3", 270 pounds. This is a big dude. And he tries to throw her off the overpass in Capitol Hill. Now, Allison Grande over at Cairo 7 TV, the reporter there, fantastic reporter. She said the victim held onto the railing with both hands. As Wilson tried to throw her over the edge, he said, "Do you want to go over the edge?" That according to a police report. A witness intervened, and then he was arrested. Here is another passerby talking with Cairo 7 TV.
But that's terrifying to think that you're just innocently on your way to work and your life is threatened like that. I'm kind of in shock.
You shouldn't be in shock. I'm not in shock that this happened. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. I'm surprised we don't talk about it more often than we do. Now, finally, this guy is locked up in a King County jail. The bail is set at $400,000. But understand, a Seattle municipal judge dismissed the other cases. This is the fourth time that we know about. He is out on the streets and has been because Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes does nothing, won't prosecute homeless criminals. Cops aren't being allowed to arrest, and sometimes they won't because they know it can actually cost them their jobs. And the Seattle City Council doesn't care because they think it's compassionate to let this dude live out on the streets. They think it's compassionate not to force him from living out in an alleyway or in a park, using a sidewalk as a toilet. They think it's compassion not to harass him because sometimes if you go into a shelter, you're not able to keep all your belongings. And you know what? In some cases, all they have is the stuff they're currently living with in that tent. And then, of course, we then look over. They're not holding on to antiques that they've had since a child that their dying mother gave them on their deathbed. Say, whatever you do, remember me with this one item. No, we're talking about stolen stuff and we're talking about garbage. We're talking about garbage. And you know what? You get the privilege of hanging on to garbage once you get back into society. To the people who otherwise can get back into society but are choosing not to take shelter help, sorry, you got to leave. The people who are mentally ill, we should be offering treatment on demand. Instead, we're turning a blind eye. People are suffering in the streets. And it's not just the homeless people suffering in the streets. Now it's the people who are just walking to work, walking home, walking to go see a movie with her dad. Visitors who are just going to Seattle Center, these are the people who are getting attacked. And the city of Seattle says nothing other than, over and over again, telling us how compassionate they are. Well, your compassion is killing people and ruining the city. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So over 2,000 people showed up to an interfaith vigil in Redmond to show solidarity with the victims of that white nationalist terrorist attack in New Zealand. It shouldn't have gotten political at all.
The more you learn, the more you can share and understand and see that the folks in that community are just folks like you and me.
Unfortunately, it did, in fact, become a political propaganda rally, all in the name of bringing people together, which is very ironic. It was all political in the end, and that's a shame. Attorney General Bob Ferguson was there. He spoke.
It's a time of mourning. It is a time of reflection. And it is also, I was so glad to hear from our leaders of faith, a time of action.
A time of action because they supported his lawsuit against President Trump and his administration on the Muslim ban that doesn't actually ban Muslims. He supports this action because they are supporting his actions against this administration, all in the name of defeating Islamophobia, when really this is all in the name of pushing progressive ideals that really make you feel good, but actually make us less safe. They passed out a one sheet called 12 Ways You Can Combat Islamophobia. And it includes sign the petition to repeal the Muslim ban. And then it would push people to support a whole host of local bills that they believe somehow combats Islamophobia. It doesn't. It had nothing to do with Islamophobia. They want you to think that if you support the lawful travel ban targeting a handful of countries, not Muslims, in fact, not all of them are even Muslim majority countries, if you support that, you're an Islamophobe. And they will be there to remind you that if you stand with the president, you stand with hate. Right, Representative Pramila Jayapal?
Silence or denials of elected officials enables these tragedies.
It enables these tragedies. Silence, when you hear hate, enables these tragedies. Representative Pramila Jayapal remains silent on anti-Semitism. Is she enabling anti-Semitism? Is she enabling Hamas terrorists who just killed two Jews in Samaria? And then afterwards, Palestinians celebrated in the streets? I didn't hear Pramila Jayapal or Attorney General Bob Ferguson show solidarity with the Jewish lives that were lost. And the reason why is because Jayapal and Ferguson and Inslee and Mayor Jenny Durkin and all of these people, they don't view lives equally. They don't value lives equally. They can't make an anti-Trump political point out of a dead Jew, so they're silent. But when you have Muslims who are killed, they can absolutely use that to go after the president and to go after conservatives, to go after politicians they don't like, so they jump at that. They don't really care the way they tell you. They care more about making a political point. Because if that's not what they cared about, you know what they wouldn't do? Speak political talking points at a meeting, at a vigil that's supposed to be about bringing people together. You know what tears people apart? Politics. Politics tears people apart. You know what's far down on this list of 12 ways you can combat Islamophobia? Coming in at number 9 was a link to donate to help the victims in New Zealand. Coming in at number 9 was a link to help donate money to the family members of people who were murdered and people who were injured by a terrorist. Number 9, not number 1. Although I suppose I give them credit for not being number 12. I mean, it could have been way worse as far as optics are concerned. And it's so weird how selective politicians are when it comes to condemning hate. Ilhan Omar screams out vile anti-Semitic remark after remark after remark, and Pramila Jayapal goes on Twitter telling us to be nicer to her. Don't be so mean to Ilhan Omar. Democrats tell us that it's okay for her to be anti-Semitic because she is a Muslim woman of color. That kind of hate they don't speak out against. But in this case, because it has to do with Muslims and they can tie it to the Muslim ban, all of a sudden they get really, really, really eager to talk. Weird how that works, isn't it? You can send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. It's an unbetter tax resolution hotline, 1-800-465-8770. So on the topic of homelessness, we just got a text message. I just got onto I-90 East from Rainier Avenue, and the entire on-ramp is one garbage dump. That's usually what you'll see going on and off of any on or off ramp in this general area. Remember, by the way, right now the governor is going on a national tour feeding his delusion that he can become president on this idea that he cares about the environment. He cares so much about the environment, but he lets homeless people use it as a toilet, use it as a trash bin. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
So a meeting of Washington's Orca Task Force last night revealed that the newborn calf spotted back in January is still alive.
So I did want to make sure everyone heard the good news about L124, who's the new calf that was seen in the population. Yes.
I mean, that was kind of a muted reaction, right? Didn't you at least think you'd hear like a hoot? Someone like, yeah!
I don't know.
It's nothing.
It was just like... Well, it's not news. I mean, Jason Rantz continues to survive.
I know, which, by the way, should be breaking news because of my deep depression and general angst. I shouldn't be here. And my general unhealthiness. I always thought that I was going to get hit by a bus by the age of 35. And here I am, relatively healthy at 37. This orca has the worst nickname ever. Lucky. Which means, of course, it's going to die soon. I mean, you've basically killed this poor orca off by calling it Lucky, because the world, especially when it comes to orcas in this region, tend to lean into the tragedy, right? We were all spending weeks upon weeks thinking about the orca and the dead baby calf that she was hanging out with and pushing along in the Puget Sound. Like, we all took note of that tragedy. And now you're calling the orca Lucky. The orca's all like, just call me Joe. Just don't call me Lucky. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm still just a calf.
The dead calf's name was Prosper. So I mean, it's just kidding.
It's not a good move.
Yeah, it's not good at some point.
You know what I find interesting about this story? I don't want to spend too much time about an orca because, number one, I don't care about orcas in all that meaningful of a way. I care more about the actual human beings. Inslee wants to spend $1.1 billion on saving orcas, while we've got people who are literally dying in the streets of their opioid addiction.
And orcas are jerks.
Orcas kind of are jerks. But, okay, let's push that aside for a second. Because dolphins kind of...
Oh, they're mean, too.
They're not so nice themselves. I find interesting about this is that no one truly cares about this story. I don't see everyone talking about it on Facebook or Twitter. I go on websites, I don't see a whole bunch of people commenting in the comment section of the story. And the reason why they don't care is because he's living. Because he's alive, they do not care. If he was dying, they would pretend to care. If he was having some bad health episodes, they would come out and go on Twitter and say, oh, we've got to save the orcas. We've got to do everything we can to save these orcas. They only care when it makes it seem like they care. Meaning, they care about the virtue signal. It's the equivalent of someone saying they stand for something because they changed an avatar on Facebook and put a little flag or a button or something. And that's their stance, that they care about this issue. Have you donated any of your time or money to the cause? No, but I changed my avatar. And that means something. I'm a social media influencer. You've got 17 followers. You're not a social media influencer. This is that story that highlights people pretending. They love the idea that they're perceived as someone who cares, without actually having to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, Inslee won't say anything until it dies, and that's
Inslee
mainly
because
he... Inslee
doesn't even know that this orca's name is Lucky and it's still kicking.
Yeah, well, once it dies, swimming, he knows he loses a voter, so...
No, when he dies, he's going to exploit that. He's going to say, despite my best efforts, we were not able to resuscitate this calf. I literally gave it mouth to mouth. It died anyway. I will never let another orca die on my watch again. Vote for me for president. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So speaking of running for president, Elizabeth Warren is running for president. She was on CNN doing a town hall event, and she said some ridiculous things. And she made a statement that in theory should upset a whole bunch of progressives. In theory, it should upset progressives. But in reality, it doesn't, because her stupid comment was around guns and gun ownership and gun rights. And when it comes to guns, the left gets really freaked out because they hate guns. They loathe gun culture. They hate everything about guns. And so they stop listening to things and being smart in their analysis. And she picked up on a talking point that has been used for at least the last year, year and a half or so. And it's basically the NRA, gun manufacturers, Republicans in Congress, they want people who are terrorists on the no-fly list to get guns.
At the federal level, no fly, no buy. Like if you're on the terrorist watch list, maybe you shouldn't be able to buy a gun.
Okay, maybe you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. But let's be clear about that silly statement. Her statement takes out of context what the conversation is actually about. You want to know why Republicans were against this bill that was being discussed about a year or so ago that would guarantee that if you're on the no-fly list, you can't get a gun? It's because there are a lot of people on the no-fly list that were put there by accident. Sometimes because some paperwork was filled out incorrectly, sometimes because a spelling error, sometimes because they sounded like someone, but maybe they aren't that person. But let's just play it safe and put them on the list. And it's incredibly difficult and onerous and time-consuming and expensive to get off the no-fly list. Julio Rosas over at Mediaite, a friend of the show, he talked about this, and he linked to a Politico story showing one individual took 5 years to get off of this no-fly list. If you support constitutional rights, you should not want an error to dictate whether or not you have access to said constitutional rights you just told me you care about. Would we say because you're on this no-fly list, you shouldn't have the right to defend yourself? Or the right to speak out in defense of yourself? Free speech? No. But when it comes to a gun, we're supposed to say, we don't really like that amendment, so I guess we're just going to forget that one. And this isn't me, the conservative, speaking. The ACLU was on the exact same page as Republicans when it came to the no-fly list. The exact same page. Now, beyond that, and this was a point that Siraj Hashmi from the Washington Examiner made on Twitter, really good writer. I really like his stuff. He pointed out, when you say you want to keep guns away from people on the no-fly list, you do understand, days after a terrorist attack impacting Muslims, you're targeting Muslims, because how many Muslims were erroneously or mistakenly put on the no-fly list? So woke Elizabeth Warren ends up taking a position that would have Muslims be denied some basic constitutional rights, all because she doesn't like guns. And of course, the people in the audience, they eat it up, because to them, it's not about constitutional rights. When it's about illegal immigrants who are in this country, they should get all constitutional rights. They should be afforded all rights. But I mean, this is about the guns. Guns are scary.
Pew, pew, pew.
I don't like them. You shouldn't do that, because that's a joke about guns, and guns, serious business.
That was insensitive, sorry.
So insensitive. In fact, I'm appalled and boycotting you. I'm never going to listen to anything you have to say again, because, oh my God, don't you understand that guns kill people? Didn't you know that 7 kids on average a day are killed by gun violence? But really what I mean is, I'm also including 18 and 19-year-olds, and I'm also including gun accidents and suicides. Suicides, of course, which account for 2/3 of the gun deaths. But we're just going to call it gun violence, because then it feels like it's Chicago everywhere.
We need to have some sort of communication, like a back and forth between someone regarding guns. What do you call that? When two people, a lot of people are talking about something that's like really important.
That's controversial.
Yeah.
Something that we should outlaw, obviously. We don't want people talking about things.
Right.
We don't want two people with two different positions talking things out. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let me talk at you. What a stupid remark.
Sorry.
What's going on over there?
I was just trying
to... No. Don't try to justify you're stupid. Don't try to justify it. We don't do that in the Democratic Party. We tell you how you're supposed to feel. And if you don't feel that way, we shame and bully you. And we do it until you shut up.
Well, the answer... I was going to say conversation. We didn't have a conversation about it.
I know where you were going. Yeah. I diverted to make a different comment and joke.
Okay.
You didn't see that language I gave you, like the sign language? I just, like, I was taking it in a different direction. But you didn't care.
I don't,
because you don't really want conversation language either. Ironically, 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will be on the Tucker Carlson Show again later tonight, 9:40. I mean 5:40 too, but you should watch it at 9:40 so you're actually listening to my show. We'll be talking about whether or not the homelessness crisis is killing the city of Seattle, and I think the clear answer is yes. I know a lot of people in the activist community, the ones who have been in charge while Seattle has seen this slow death, they're upset when we call this stuff out. Oh, well, let them be upset. Let them complain. We'll actually do something about it. We'll shine a spotlight on the issue. We'll let them complain on Twitter. They're really good at complaining on Twitter. They're really good at pretending their position is the one that's held by the majority of folks living in this region, but they are little people with anger issues and incredible egos. These are angry bloggers. These are failed stand-up comics. These are people who are on Twitter complaining about anyone who dares shine a spotlight on the homelessness crisis. We want to get people out of the streets into actual shelters while they think it's compassionate to keep people living out in the streets on and off ramps of freeways, using parks as toilets, not having access to running water or electricity or heat, nothing. We talked a little bit earlier. I got a text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline indicating the trash pit on I-90 that they just witnessed as they were getting onto the freeway. We just got another text from someone in the area. A photo taken from this morning at Rainier and I-90 East. It's disgusting. It's just total filth. Seattle is becoming your worst nightmare. And unfortunately, things like this start to spread. And we're seeing it happen in Olympia. Do you remember this kind of homelessness crisis in Olympia, say, 5 years ago? Because I don't. But now folks are camped out wherever it is they want to. And that problem started to spread in Snohomish County. It hit Mukilteo. It hit Arlington. And you know what they decided to do? Rather than go about it the Seattle way, they decided to fight back in a meaningful way by saying, you know what, we're putting cops out there. We're connecting them with social workers. They're going to directly go into the communities impacting homelessness. We're going to tell them very clearly, if you're living out on the streets, you have two options. You can get help, which we'll provide for you, or we're throwing you in jail and we're going to make your life really, really difficult. We will put you in treatment. We will get you sober. We will put you in transitional housing, or we'll throw you in jail. You get to pick. Now, maybe the first time they choose not to take up the help. Okay, we put you in jail. Then, yeah, they go back out. They live out on the streets again. You know what? We go through the process again and again and again until they decide either they're going to take the help or they're going to leave town. That is a good approach. An approach that Seattle should take, that Tacoma should take, that University Place should take, that every single community should take. But it actually takes some political willpower to stand up to the children on Twitter who complain incessantly when you decide to take up an approach that they don't find compassionate. Your compassion is killing people. Your compassion is killing people. Seattle, Mayor Jenny Durkin, Council Members Shelma Sawant, Mike O'Brien, Teresa Mascade, Elisa Herbold, your so-called compassion is killing people. And too often, your bad ideas spread. There are a lot of bad ideas out there being discussed. Lots of bad ideas. Last night on CNN, Elizabeth Warren doing her town hall, she had a really, really bad idea. And it has to do with getting rid of the Electoral College. Now, since the Democrats lost to President Trump, since Hillary Clinton lost to Trump, the Democrats have been talking about getting rid of the Electoral College. Now, most people seem to agree that if Hillary Clinton went to Wisconsin like, oh, I don't know, one time, they probably would have won there. And had they won Wisconsin, they would have won the election. So the response to that concern, to that criticism, is pushing an idea that suggests not only would they skip Wisconsin again in the future, they'll focus all of their attention on California, New York, Massachusetts, maybe Florida, maybe Texas. And then they'll get in some stops at Seattle, maybe. Because then they'll get to focus on the densely populated states, cater specifically to them, and ignore everybody who lives all across the country in states that they consider flyover country. Elizabeth Warren wants to get rid of the Electoral College so she doesn't have to campaign in Puyallup or Everett or Vancouver or Bellingham.
My view is that every vote matters. That means get rid of the Electoral College and every vote.
Actually, what that means is she doesn't think every vote matters because she's not going to worry about the voters in Wyoming or Idaho or Utah or Kansas or Oklahoma or South Carolina or Michigan or Wisconsin or Rhode Island. She doesn't care about those votes. She wants to win by not going across the country and hearing from everybody. She wants to pretend that all she has to do to get power is focus on Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York City, and Boston. I guess we can throw Philly in there as well. Because that's where a lot of the voters live. And if they want to focus on that, that's fine. But understand that means she's ignoring all the serious concerns about literally everybody else who doesn't live that lifestyle of an urbanite who walks to work, who chooses not to have kids, who wants to travel the world for 7 years before they get a job. Catering to them would create a much different presidency and much different country. Now, of course, this is never going to happen, and they know that. This is just their way of telling middle America, yeah, we don't care about you. We don't give a damn about you. Oh, you're a farmer in Nebraska? Okay. Oh, you're a coal miner in Virginia? Yeah, we don't care. Oh, but you're a Hollywood producer in L.A. Okay, we care about you. Ooh, you're a tech startup in San Francisco and the Bay Area. Oh, we care about you. They don't care about anybody else. And that makes a lot of millennials really happy on the coast because the millennials who choose to live in these big cities, who generally vote Democratic, they don't care about middle America either. They look down their nose at people who live in Nebraska. They don't understand why people live in Wyoming or Iowa or New Hampshire. And by the way, what I love about this right now, Elizabeth Warren, who wants to get rid of the Electoral College, spending a lot of her time in Iowa and New Hampshire because those are early primary states. So she's there pretending to care about the folks who live there. Karine Jean-Pierre, formerly of the Hillary Clinton campaign, I believe, she was on CNN, and she says, yeah, we're only doing this push right now because Hillary lost.
Karine, will we be having this conversation if Hillary Clinton were president?
You know, I think we've been, that conversation's been around for since 2000. And I think, yes, you're right, Craig. I think after 2016, there was a big, a much bigger push for it. So, yeah, you know, Hillary Clinton, her loss, winning three million more votes, for the popular vote, clearly, and losing the Electoral College, absolutely put this issue in the forefront.
If it was reversed, they would be talking about the importance of the Electoral College. If it was the reverse, they would talk about deeply how important the Electoral College is. Noah Rothman, show friend, he's a conservative political commentator over at MSNBC, and he talks about, yeah, this is, guys, it's not going to happen.
There's no such thing as a national election. States hold elections. And what this would require is a constitutional amendment to get rid of that, to essentially alter the Constitution to allow there to be a national referendum. This is a pander, because that's not going to happen. There is not going to be a two-thirds vote in both chambers, not going to be 38 states ratifying this. There's not going to be small states essentially consenting to their own disenfranchisement, because what Elizabeth Warren's suggestion here is that doing so would allow candidates to campaign in places that aren't competitive, like California and Texas, which, by the way, were swing states within living memory. And that they would go to places like Mississippi. They would not. They would essentially localize the election in much more concentrated, densely populated spaces, and candidates would be loath to visit places like Iowa and New Hampshire, which have very little population, but a lot of significant value in the Electoral College.
The funny thing is, for anyone who's paying attention to all of this, do you want in Washington State, do you want Seattle to dictate everything that happens? In a lot of ways, they already do when we're all miserable. But do you want to guarantee that the Seattle vote dictates literally everything in the state of Washington or really in the Pacific Northwest? I'm a no. I count me in as a no. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're live in the online Trading Academy studio. A business owner in Pioneer Square ended up having to tackling a dude with a gun in his business. Emerald City Guitars. This is all according to Q13. Now, this is one of the businesses that have been speaking out about these prolific offenders who keep breaking laws in the city of Seattle, and they keep getting away with it because our city attorney, Pete Holmes, refuses to charge these people. The owner of the business is named Jay Boone. He tells Q13 that he constantly has to call SPD because of all these problems.
We talked earlier about how many times we called 911 in the last year. 100. We feel like fools calling them up so many times. I'm appalled. I'm angry. I'm frustrated about what's going on down here and in our city in general. There doesn't seem to be anything happening in any leadership role from the governor to the mayor to the city council and to change anything. I mean, it's getting worse. They keep talking about throwing money into this, and it's absolutely getting worse.
Yeah, pretty much. And it just got way worse for this guy. Because some dude comes in, robs the store of a $3,500 guitar. The same guy, wearing virtually the same clothes, comes back to this store a few days later, likely getting ready to steal again. But they recognized him. And Boone tells Q13 he initially caught the guy. But then he pulled out a gun.
He tries to make flight towards that door, at which point I grabbed the back of his coat, took him over to this counter back here, and forced him to sit down. He jumps up, pulls a gun out of his pocket, starts waving it at us.
You know, the problem was they should have got the guitar wires and tied him down to the chair.
Is that how you would have handled it?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. The other thing I would do is I'd like take one of the bass, that big, like the
right,
bigger guitar,
instrument.
Like the thicker one,
right.
And then just hit him over the head with it a couple times. But then weirdly, they would charge me, but let this guy go.
You got a lot of great ideas.
That's the funny thing about the city of Seattle. And so the guy runs out after he pulls the gun. Boone decided to actually chase him down.
One of my employees hit him with some, the entrance with some bear mace over here, and then I gave chase to him.
I'm on top of the guy. He's face down. He's got the gun in his right hand, and he's trying to bring it around to my body. I've got this hand kind of in his face, and he bites
poke
this
his eye
finger
out.
Here around my head, around here, and then fires a shot. And that's where they think the bullet went through this window right here. At that point, I just jumped away.
Yeah, at that point, I'm like, I'm out. Now, he obviously shouldn't have chased the guy with a gun. Don't do that. Call 911. Stay indoors. Be safe. Get to safe place. But at some point, you get so angry, and this is a guy who's just been broken by Seattle. Seattle has broken this guy because he keeps getting robbed by the same people over and over and over again. He's seeing the crime that's happening over and over and over again. Nothing being done. He's finally broken to the point where he stupidly decides to chase a guy with a gun. And while this is happening, I have a question. Where's our leadership? Where's our city leadership? They're not going to get bothered by this. Where's the governor? Where's Governor Jay Inslee, who's talking about Washington as the success story? It's been so successful under his watch, he now wants to be president. Where is he? He's going to New York yet again to go on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. And it was just such a love fest.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, this is a good show, I've heard.
You've heard?
I've heard.
Wow, never watched?
No,
God, he's so bad. You know what? Trevor Noah isn't funny already. I just don't like him. And then you throw into the mix Jay Inslee. And boy, is that a recipe for disaster.
Watched every night. Don't go to bed without it.
Oh, okay. I feel like you said you've heard, and then you said you've watched. That was a pretty good like a politician-y move that you pulled on me there to get the votes. You know I can't vote. So
I've been around.
You're wasting your charm on me. I can't vote.
You got friends, buddy. You got friends, okay?
Oh, God, he's so bad. You know what he looks like? He looks like a guy who always orders hot dogs for dinner. Jay Inslee. He always, just no matter where you take him, at the house, he always just wants a hot dog. What's his wife's name? Trudy? Trudy, make me a hot dog. I'll have hot dogs for dinner tonight. Again?
I don't know about that. I can.
But then he'll go to a restaurant, and then it'll be a nice restaurant. It'll be a really nice restaurant. You got nice steak, chicken, fish, catch of the day, and then he's going to look over the menu. He's going to say, I'll just have a hot dog, and sir, we don't serve hot dogs. But that's what I want. Jay Inslee want hot dog.
I don't know. I kind of picture him sitting in front of the television trying to figure out what remote turns on the TV. That's kind of what I
he doesn't
like
do that anymore. Now he goes, Trudy, turn the TV on. Turn the TV on. I can't get the TV to work.
Allegra.
How many damn remotes do we need to have in this house?
Alice, play.
Jay Inslee looks like a guy who wears different color socks. That's what he looks like. He looks like a guy whose socks never match. And then at some point, even though it's weird, you just say, well, that's his personality. You start to make excuses for the embarrassment that he brings the family. It's just like, oh, that's just his thing.
I think when he gets cut off in traffic, he still calls him buddy. Come on, buddy. What are you doing?
Jay Inslee looks like a guy who talks to plants. Like, he just talks to them. He has names for his plants. When he waters them, he'll say, hey, look at you, Plant McPlant Face. Oh, aren't you thirsty today? Hey, Tiger.
That's what
he looks like.
He reads the safety manual before taking off on a flight every single time because he's got to remind himself that the bottom of his seat doubles as a flotation device.
Jay Inslee looks like a guy, if you just gave him like a box full of rocks and put him next to a lake, he would be entertained for the entire day. Like, the entire day. Ooh, look at that go.
He's kind of the guy, when you're at the zoo, who no one asked, but he's going to give you intel on the animal, what they do. Like, this, you know, orcas swim 20 knots throughout the water. No one asked you, Jay.
Does anyone else just really want hot dogs now? I now have a craving for hot dogs.
Tomorrow, actually, Bonneville's putting on a hot dog thing, because opening day for the Mariners is this tomorrow morning.
Bonneville are the family, the parent company
right.
for KTTH. Oh, there you go. If you want to participate, send me a text. What do you think Jay Inslee looks like? 1-800-465-8770.